He's the chief sports writer at the Sydney Morning Herald. It's Wednesdays with Andrew Webster.
Morning to you, Webby.
Good morning, Matt. Good morning, listeners.
How's your week been, mate? Yeah, week out of lockdown.
Yeah, nothing's changed for some of us.
Straight back into business. Can we talk about expansion first up and sure. What you've made of what's happened over the last 24 to 48 hours and the leaking of Redcliffe being the preferred candidate? What have you made of all of that?
Oh, look, it's not surprising. I think it's hardly breaking news. Redcliffe have been the favourites to become the second Brisbane team for, God, 6 months. But I have to say the whole process and the way that this has been played out really doesn't inspire other bids if they're talking about an 18th team, which has been raised in the last few days as well, because the way this one's played out is pretty shambolic, you've got to say. There's no real excitement around it. There should be some anticipation about who will be the next team, but instead it's just been a slow drip feed of stories via News Corp, which is no surprise because it was News Corp's money at Foxtel that was going to fund it. So whether the process was right or wrong, the NRL will say it will be. I'm sure the other two bids, Ipswich and the Firehawks, will have something to say about it when it's all finalised. But is Redcliffe the right franchise? It's probably it's got its negatives and positives. Is it going to stitch up the western corridors and southwest corridors of Brisbane? Who knows? I tell you what, it's probably a better result for both the Broncos and the Titans that it's Redcliffe. But I just think the way that it's come out and the way that the process has played out hasn't been that professional, to be perfectly honest.
We had Nick Livermore on this program yesterday. Of course, he's in charge of the bid for the Jets. And he's pointed out that if it is going this way, they would be very disappointed in the process, Webby, as you mentioned, because essentially it was a 60-minute meeting. They haven't checked out any facilities out there or at the others. They have, obviously, they had the Intrust Super Cup up there at Redcliffe. So does the NRL really need to look at its processes here? Like you say, if it's going to an 18th team, when it can decide a franchise on a one-hour meeting?
Well, probably, to be honest, it needs to decide the money, where the money's coming from first. That's it got it the wrong way around. So it agreed to a second team, and then it went, well, we have to go and actually get money off the broadcasters, and that main broadcaster is Foxtel, because they're the ones that will be broadcasting most of the matches of a new team, so they're going to have to carry most of the load. And they're also the broadcaster that we've done a long-term deal with. They're still obviously off with Channel 9, the publisher of the masthead I work for, obviously, at the end of next year. So they got to ask about, to be perfectly honest. If they're going to bring in an 18th team, they'd want to do it the other way around. Again, though, it seems like, and look, I'm not trying to be anti-News Limited, but it seems like it isn't so much what's great for the game, but what's great for the News Corp owned Brisbane Broncos. That's what the process has opened up suspicions of. So if they do it again, then you think they'd want to do it a little bit better than they have. I know one thing, the clubs were pretty adamant last week when they spoke. There's a hookup end of last week where the clubs finally got to talk about the financials of all the three respective bidders. And Peter Volandis came under fire from, as I understand it, Blake Solly, the South CEO. And Peter Volandis said, hey, let's not be combative about this. Which raised a few eyebrows, because PVL can be quite combative in both his roles in racing and rugby league. I think they wanted some questions about, I think the clubs want money out of it, that's one thing, but if there's any extra broadcast revenue and all this, these new money streams that are coming in to the game, and especially when the game announces a $50 million profit during COVID-stricken times, but they just wanted to know how it's going to work and whether it's going to affect, one, the financials of the competition and what that might mean for club grants, and also what it means in terms of a player drain with another team in the competition. So, and this is on top of the fact that grassroots football and the lower tiers of rugby league have been severely hampered because of COVID in the last 2 years. So I just feel like the clubs, that the whole thing's been rushed to come to an outcome very, very quickly, and it didn't have to be that way.
Do you think if Redcliffe is the winner of the bid, do you think going north of Brisbane is the right move, or should they be targeting out west where AFL is getting pretty heavy with some serious money, mate?
I talked to Andrew Abdo about this a few weeks ago, and he didn't seem to think that putting a team in the western corridor, as I like to say, of Brisbane necessarily is needed to take on the AFL, that they can still do that with Brisbane. But my question is, why haven't the Broncos and the Titans taken on this area earlier? Like, why haven't the Titans, who were worried about a Firehawks bid, worried, haven't they been trying to channel that area sooner? Why have the Broncos not tried to tap into the western suburbs of Brisbane earlier? And some will say that it's complacency. I don't know why that should have been a factor in whether the other two bids were so easily discounted.
In our discussions yesterday and a pretty extensive look at expansion, we very quickly, Webby, went from 17 to 20 teams, essentially. And we ended up with, you know, suggestions of three teams based out of New Zealand. Let's not go that far, but does a 17th team therefore make sense for an 18th team? You get the 9 matches, you get the full round, there's no bye, extra match for the broadcasters?
Well, that's the thing. It's an extra match for the broadcasters, and it's extra, so obviously a lot more revenue. Look, like a lot of people, though, I'm just worried about the quality of the competition. Like, we've seen the difference between the good teams and the bad teams this year, which was only exacerbated by the change in the rules, which really showed you the difference between the top and the bottom sides. You know, where, as I said, the next tier of the game has been severely affected because of COVID in the last 2 years. So where's the drain for it? How much of a drain is that going to have on, or is that going to have on the competition if we go out there? I think we need to be very, very careful about just expanding for the sake of it. And I saw Nick Politis' comments a few days ago in the Telegraph, and he makes a really good point, Nick. And, you know, a bloke who's worth $1.4 billion and rising, you can't really discount his business acumen. But expanding just for the sake of it, at the expense of the quality of the competition, I don't think it necessarily works. I think the NRL got saved this year in many ways by a cracking final series that showed you that it's not so much about points scored that gets the punters through the turnstiles and flicking on their pay TV subscriptions or flicking on whatever free-to-air broadcaster has the rights. It's a close contest. If you watch the NFL, yesterday there were so many close games in the NFL, and that happens every single week. Now, I'm not saying that the NRL can be the NFL, but that's what they should aspire to something that's, you know, where there's close competitions week in, week out. And, you know, it was only 3 years ago that there was that 2 points separated first and eight at the end of the season. That's, you know, I think the game needs to get back to that point where there's just more contest between the games that are played.
It does beg the question, and we pose this too, why does the game need a 17th team? Why do we need expansion? I'm not saying that the answer to that is no, we shouldn't. I'm just saying perhaps that's a question that we should have a little look into. Greg from San Susie's on the line, Webby, so we'll get Greg's call up because I think that's the theme that you're going down, Greg. Good morning, mate.
It is. Morning, Matty. Morning, Webby. What does a 17th team, as opposed to bringing in 18, actually bring to the game? It doesn't bring any more television time. And at a time when the junior numbers are shrinking at the rate of about 8 to 9% a year, is expansion there purely and simply because somebody wants a cash influx?
Oh, I think it's a couple of factors. It brings 12 extra games in a year. So it brings an injection of money. But, you know, as we've been sort of saying on this show, and I wrote a few weeks ago, the main thing is that the NRL have finally woken up to the threat of AFL in Brisbane. So they've been talking about a second Brisbane team for so long, and it's so similar to what happened in the western suburbs of Sydney with about 10, 12 years ago with GWS. The AFL have deep pockets. They are well organised and they're patient. They don't care how much money they're spending because they just know that they've got such a a strong model that brings in so much money that they can afford to play the long game with a club like GWS. And I think the NRL, finally, the penny dropped in the last 6 months. I know it certainly did with Peter Volandis and Andrew Abdo, and went, well, you know what? If they're setting up an $80 million academy in the outer suburbs of Ipswich, then they must be gearing up for a second Brisbane team at some stage soon. And that is Heartland, Rugby League Heartland, that they don't want to cough up. So I think that's I think that certainly mobilised them into action.
It's a good question, Greg. Thanks for your call this morning, mate. Hope you enjoy your day. If the AFL, as we know, is pushing west of Brisbane, has there been much work, Webby, or much research done on how much the AFL is pushing north, where this northern corridor is going to attract the Redcliffe team?
No idea. I'm not sure what the AFL's research is in the northern suburbs of Brisbane, but I'm sure if they think there's eyeballs and there's memberships to be sold, I'm sure they're looking there already.
Yeah. So the bottom line is they're spending, like you say, $70, $80 million out towards Ipswich. So to me, if that's where the fight is, that's where you go for the fight. It appears as though the NRL is going the other way. Anyway, we'll get to the bottom of that sooner or later. Redcliffe Dolphins will probably be announced sometime this week as the 17th team, and then the debate will really kick off about the 18th team. For our listeners, on the back of Greg's call, are you worried about the disparity between the top and bottom teams? As Webby said, we ended up having a ripping finals series, but when we get more teams coming in, does the gap between the top and bottom become even more? Do we have enough players? We keep asking this question. Webby, who would be your marquee signing if you were in charge of the 17th team at Redcliffe?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? I reckon... So Cameron Munster has been earmarked for some time, and he sort of said a very Cameron Munster loose statement saying that, you know, he'd definitely be interested in it. He might have done his brand a little bit of damage, as we all know, in the last few weeks. I reckon Cameron Munster will have a standout year next year because of what's happened. So if you, any team that would can get Cameron Munster in it, I'd be grabbing him if I could. I said it on Matty Johns' show last Friday. I'd be looking at Christian Welsh. Mm. He's a proud Queenslander. He's very articulate publicly. Articulate when he speaks publicly. He is a future captain for sure, and would be a mainstay of both the Queensland and Australian teams for years to come. So he'd be a great front man. And now there's all this talk about Kalyn Ponga. So he's got player options for 23 and 24 in his current deal with the Knights. I'd be looking at him as well. The power of Supercoach Bennett in trying to get players there. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out in terms of the player market next season.
Well, like I said, there's so many points to signing a marquee player, but probably the biggest carrot that they'll have to dangle will be the Wayne Bennett factor. Gavin from Penrith says they should have held off until 2025 and brought in two teams at once. It instantly adds a ninth game, removes the need for all buys. As for stadiums, what's the point of Redcliffe having a good home ground if they're going to play most of their home games at Suncorp? It's a question I raised with Jimmy Smith, or Jimmy actually discussed with me yesterday before we moved on. Thank you, Gavin. Let's hit the open line again. Expansion thoughts from Jim out there at Campbelltown. Morning, Jim. What are you thinking?
Hello.
Go ahead, Jim. We can hear you loud and clear.
Hello.
Jim can't hear us, Webby, so we'll try and get Jim back. Hello, Jim. That was Jim's contribution to the program. We'll try and get Jim back on the line and continue
Jim,
this
come
discussion.
Back, Jim.
Hey, we've got a fair bit to talk about. So you might have heard this, Webby, as you're coming into the studio. I'm looking for the top three rugby league stories of 2021. So the top three stories, and you just start to think about, I think that it goes back to crackdown at Magic Round. Mm-hmm. Then it goes through relocation. There's got to be the infamous Dragons barbecue in there as well. We get to the grand final. Was that the biggest story? So I'm going to let you have a little bit of thinking time while the news is on. And I want to get your thoughts on the top three. I'm getting plenty of texts coming through. Got a New South Wales Blues scarf to give away to the best contributions. So give us your top three headlines from season 2021 so far. Maybe there's more headlines to be written, and we'll see how that goes. 0457 736 736 is the text line, or 1300 01 1170. We'll also discuss the NRL's vaccine debate. When do they come out with their stance? It's starting to happen, of course, overseas, and this, I think, could be the biggest off-season story that the game has. Time for the 9:30 news. Thank you, Adam. Webby is here, of course. Wednesdays with Webby on the morning show. Let's have another crack at Jim. We've re-established the connection. Jim, go ahead with your thoughts on NRL expansion.
Oh, guys, thanks very much. Matty, I'm a rugby league fan first and foremost, and I've been watching Canterbury all my life in my 58 years. In the last 3 years, I've watched a very, well, I won't even say a first-grade standard side. So my question is, one, where are they going to get the quality players from to fill in this gap of the team? Because we've seen the difference with the salary cap, which is supposed to make everything equal, is just not. And the second thing is, I thought the second Brisbane team was supposed to come in to represent the people who didn't actually go for the Broncos. So now you've got a team at Redcliffe. Now, what happens if I'm a West supporter, an East supporter, and I don't particularly like Redcliffe either, and I don't go for the Broncos? Who do I go for now?
A couple of good questions. Right, let's go to the quality players first. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate that call and glad we got you back on the line, mate. Thanks for calling in. The quality of players, you've already raised this, Webby. Do you have big concerns about this?
I wouldn't say big concerns. I'm interested to see how it plays out. I'm not so much concerned about whether the Dolphins or if the new franchise is going to be competitive, because I've got no doubt that they'll be able to pay overs because they'll have a nice big fat salary cap to spend, and Bennett's such a draw card. So you'll have, and it's just the excitement of heading up a new franchise as well. So I've got no dramas about them being competitive within the first 3 years, particularly with Bennett coaching them, because he's Wayne Bennett. I am concerned about just the drain overall on the rest of the competition and the rest of the teams, and just a further diluting of the quality of the competition. I know at League Central they're concerned about the disparity between the top teams and the bottom teams. That's, as I said, been exacerbated by the new rules. I'm concerned about what it's going to look like. And as I said before, because of the effect of COVID on the lower tiers of the competition the last 2 years.
Yeah, and then it'll just come down to who wants to support who. I mean, I don't know, to the second part of Jim's question, I don't know how we sort of get around that one. Whoever comes in.
Sorry to cut you off. That was the argument from a bid, like in particularly the Firehawks. They were talking specifically about getting new eyeballs to the game. And there's just going to be such a rapid growth in population in the western suburbs of Brisbane, all the way out to Ipswich and beyond. So that's what they were, their pitch, you know, just how many new fans can the Redcliffe Dolphins bring to the game, whereas the other two were trying to sell that they were going to bring new fans to watch rugby league. I suppose we'll find out in time, won't we?
We'll find out in time. On
come
the text
back to me
line.
In, come back to me in 3 years and I'll tell you whether it's worth it.
A couple of years. Stop being naysayers. Good on the NRL. Pity Brisbane team wasn't the Fire Jets to be Western Corridor. Onward and upward, says Dilly Gaff from Blacksmiths. Thank you for that. We're not being naysayers. We're just loving
relevant
the
questions.
Drama.
They are relevant questions.
Well, the thing about rugby league, as you well
that's
know...
That's not naysaying. That's called doing your job, last time I looked.
Nothing happens
Let's
drama
not talk
free.
About unicorns and rainbows, tra-la-la-la, and act like Smurfs. Jesus.
The NRL vaccine debate.
Yay, so vaccines!
We've touched on this one. Let's do this quickly because I want to get to your top three stories. Can you do that with every subject that I raise?
Yes.
Vaccine debate. Go.
Go vaccines. They're great. Well, what's happened with Kyrie Irving overnight,
yes,
and what happened with the New Zealand Breakers, like sort of more locally, did more recently with Ty Webster, and just said, mate, if you can't fulfil your contractual obligations because you're not vaccinated, then, mate, what's the use of us having you? And I think Lee Hadjimantelis said it on this network just a few weeks ago, same thing. If you can't fulfil your contractual obligations because you're not vaxxed, whether you agree you should be vaxxed or not, if you're an anti-vaxxer, that's fine. But not being vaxxed has consequences, and that's just the way it is. You can't have it all. whether you're a sports person or a member of the public. And I think that's the way the NRL will handle it. It's a bet each way. They're not going to mandate it, but it'll be up to the clubs to say, if you can't fulfil your contractual obligations, then you shouldn't, then you, I'm sorry, you can't play. Given the uncertainty around borders, both internationally and both domestically, then if you're not vaxxed, then that's, to use a great Hunter S. Thompson line, buy the ticket, take the ride.
On the text, Matt and Webby, I watched the Intrust Cup final series, the grand final and Colts grand final. There's plenty of talent up there with some solid experienced players for a new team. Thank you for that, Port Macquarie Eel. And the Reptile says, I'm over the whole thing, not enough talent. Please, what a load of crap. The problem with the bad teams is their crap roster management. Just look at the injury toll on the Roosters, Storm and Bunnies this year. Next one up with them. Thank you, Reptile. Alrighty, top three stories, Webby, of 2021. Let me read you just a couple from our listeners.
Can we not make it vaccinations and expansion?
Top three stories that have happened so far. I guess they're happening. I guess they qualify. Andrew from Newcastle says, one, magic round crackdown. Two, Manly's miracle recovery from 0-4 to top four. And three, Penrith's last three games built on tough. Yeah, pretty close to the mark. I think crackdown for me has got to go somewhere up the top. This one from Fetty. One, has got to be magic round with the crackdown on dangerous tackle. Two, Wayne versus Ivan. Three, Tales from Tiger Town. Great insight for fans to see behind the scenes. Loved it. Not a Tigers fan, but still enjoyed it. Thank you for that, Fetty. There's a new bit of input into the top three stories. What would your top three be?
Well, you can't go past the Magic Round debacle, the head high crackdown, and how that just dominated the game for two or three weeks. I'll say Tommy Turbo and his form from Corso sprint race to quote unquote falling over in the shower to getting off the drink to winning the Dally M in a gallop. And having just that incredible season that he had, I thought Tommy's form this year just stood out as a storyline on its own. Now, I had Adam Reynolds and that drama that went down at South, but you can't really go past, and I'm going to put it all in together, the whole way that COVID just had such an impact on the competition. Had to relocate the whole premiership to Southeast Queensland, had to relocate the whole Origin series to Queensland, and New South Wales still managed to get the job done. And then there was the COVID breaches before they relocated to Queensland with the infamous barbecue gate at Paul Vaughan's place. I'd just say the way that all played out was definitely another storyline. God, I can't wait to get to next year and hope there's no COVID stories. If I never write COVID-19 in a story again, I'll be very happy.
Be happy. Very happy. Yes, I think limited chance of that. However, Lee says, top three, Storm, 19 wins in a row. Tommy Turbo getting Dally M after 15 games. Penrith's 18th man, trainer, that stopped play potentially costing Parramatta near a certain try in their semi-final. So people are remembering pretty quickly. The big G, one, Turbo's race with Harry and his comeback. Two, the flogging of Queensland in game one and the whole series being played in Queensland. There you go, State of Origin. And three, Panthers win the grand final the hard way. This was by far my happiest headline, says the big G. So top three is coming our way. Keep them coming on 0457 736 736. Do you agree with Webby? One, magic round crackdown. Two, Tommy Turbo from Corso to Dally M, essentially. And three, the COVID impact on the game and everything that flowed out of that as well. What have you made out of the world of Football Australia and the Matildas story, the claims of abuse and sexual harassment, and then the Matildas statement from the players themselves, which I read out on this program on Monday morning, Webby, that stood up for the culture of the Matildas and was, well, one player said it was orchestrated BS.
Well, orchestrated by a handful of players who News Corp quoted. I actually found it really uncomfortable, that statement the other day. It seems so manufactured, and then to have them sign it and do it the way that they did it just seemed very, very stage managed to me. I just hope that the inquiry and what the findings are as transparent as possible. Because you'll remember that 2 years ago they got rid of Alan Stajic, the Matildas coach, and it was all about, quote-unquote, a toxic culture. And I remember having it out with David Gallop, the FFA CEO at the time. Like, they didn't go into any detail and then talked about confidentiality. But it just made the whole thing so murky and just left so much open to speculation. If you're going to sack the Matildas coach like they did and move him on because of cultural issues within the team, then you need to explain why. You can't take the fans and the stakeholders of the game as fools. So let's just hope that what happens this time, it gets explained in greater detail. But they're pretty serious allegations. When you start throwing around terms like grooming, that has a whole stack of implications and connotations that need to be explained. But, you know, Lisa Devana, the way that she is, she's been very brave in what she's said publicly, but I think there needs to be, as I said, the inquiry into it, which is going to be held by Sports Integrity Australia, so it's going to be independent, needs to be as transparent and open with its findings as possible, because the FFA found itself in deep trouble when they went down this path a couple of years ago.
The Everest on Saturday. Gone from 5,000 to 10,000. You got a ticket?
I'm actually going to brush it.
You're going to brush it completely?
I'm going to watch it from the from home. I
thought you were going to brush it completely.
No, I won't be brushing it completely, although given how I punted last Saturday, some would suggest I should brush it completely and not even look at it. It's a great race. I know people think it's manufactured prestige, and in some ways it is, but again, the way that Peter Volandis has, he likes to call himself quote-unquote a disruptor. That's why he's brought this and the Golden Eagle in to quote-unquote disrupt the Spring Carnival in Melbourne, and you got to say it's been very successful, not just in terms of cornering a new market with young racegoers getting all dressed up in their tarot cash and the like and getting out to the track and drinking themselves to a standstill and then trying to get a taxi back home. But it's been really popular in terms of its format with the slot holders. There's a great story there with defending champion Classic Legend, who's the $4.20 favourite, I think, when I last looked at the market, with Les Bridge, the 83-year-old trainer. Won last year in amazing fashion and then went away to Hong Kong, didn't perform, bled. So it's had, and come back, and Les has got it, brought it back to life, and it's going to start favourite again, despite having only one start since last year's win. So it's, and there's great stories all over the place. So, I'm a fan of the Everest. I'm a bigger fan of just watching it from home, where I can easily get to the fridge. I can easily get a bet on my phone.
I think. Are you superstitious when you bet?
What do you mean?
Do you have any routines?
No, I'd like to do a little. I like to have a little bit of form. I tell you, I'm very big on getting good mail off certain people, but Brian Fletcher is not one of them. Joel Kane is, though. He knows what he's talking about.
Oh, mate, Sugar knows exactly what he's talking about. He's all over it. He does all the
homework. He's a student of the turf.
Of sport.
And rugby league.
A student of sport. That's right. Your time is up here, my friend.
You
can move on. And
yeah, what, just done. Just for today or just forever?
No, just for today. Please come back again. Sure. Thanks. No worries. Thank you, mate. We'll read all about it in the Sydney Morning Herald. Speak to you next week.
Thanks, Matty.
Andrew Webster there. So Wednesdays with Webby. Do you agree? Magic round, Tommy Turbo and the COVID impact, the three biggest stories out of the NRL season. Got plenty of your thoughts on the text line, which I'll get to, or you can give me a call this morning on 1300 01 1170. We'll be joined in our next hour by Ian Smith, the morning's host on SENZ. I'll also touch with Ian because they run a similar program to ours over there in New Zealand. What the talk is across in New Zealand about the NRL expansion, and are they looking again more seriously at another team over there? I'm talking about the fans. Obviously, we've got the Wellington Orcas putting their hands up, but what do the fans want over there? Do they want to see any more teams? Adam Peacock will join me too to recap Japan's win over the Socceroos last night, and Jeremy Lollinger, the NBL commissioner, will be on my show today. The schedule was released yesterday. Tip-off is set for December 3, and the number one priority for the NBL is to get fans back at stadiums. So we're in full swing on this Wednesday morning. You can join the show anytime, 0457 736 736 or 1300 01 1170 on the open line.